terrible people doing terrible things.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a licensed psychologist who enjoys studying the worst of humanity.
And I'm Laura, a psychology and horror addict who really likes to research dark and twisted things and talk about them. Today I'm going to tell you about Thomas Edison and how, you know, he wasn't maybe the greatest person in the world.
Why am I not surprised about that anymore?
Everyone's terrible. Yeah, all of them. But first, let me tell you a little about, you know, we're going to be talking about electricity.
Okay.
Have you ever been shocked or electrocuted?
So I actually have, and it's not like this super dramatic thing. I wasn't like struck by lightning and survived or anything
Damn.
Like that. Yeah. But I was a pretty curious kid. I was a weird kid in general, and we can get into that in another episode. I wasn't using forks or anything like that, like some kids will do the forks and knives, but I did try to stick my little pinky finger into an electrical socket, and I do remember getting a little zap.
Well, just a little shock. You were giving yourself electroshock therapy?
I was giving myself electroshock therapy. You know, I think it was a cry for help, and no one heard my cries, Laura. But I survived, and I mean, people can get electrocuted.
It's actually possible. People don't generally take electricity seriously enough, because it is dangerous, but we do rely on it. I got electrocuted by a dog fence.
Oh, man.
We had, right? We had a beagle, and we were doing like a yard sale, and somebody opened the gate in the back. Even though there was a sign there that said, don't open it, we have dogs.
Okay, yeah.
Still freaking opened it, and both our dogs just took off. So
of
I chased
course.
One. We had a driveway that connected right to the highway down a hill. And so he ran all the way down and then saw cars and stopped. So I was able to get him back, but then I had to go find our beagle, who likes to just run through anything and just, you know,
keep going
go crazy. So I chased her through the little forest. We lived in a very like wooded area. Our house was kind of secluded, but we did have neighbors, and I ran through. I didn't know where I was going. I was wearing flip-flops. I lost a flip-flop. Just gone forever to the ether.
Flip-flops are the worst.
I know, right? Don't run in flip-flops, y'all.
They betray you.
Yeah. If you're ever in a horror situation, like, flip-flops are gonna get you killed. That and having sex. No having sex, no flip-flops. But she ran through, and I saw her through the woods in one of our neighbor's yards, but she was crying.
Aww.
And yiping, and there was another dog next to her. So through the woods, I thought she was getting attacked by another dog. Now, people, don't do this. I ran over to try and get my dog. Don't do that. If you think dogs are attacking each other, you don't want to be in the middle of that. I know it's hard not to.
Yeah. I've been bit so many times that way with breaking up fights between our dogs.
Exactly. But she wasn't actually being attacked. What happened was her collar, she got it caught on the little tiny fence for this Jack Russell that was electric.
Man.
So it's just a wire running maybe 6 inches off the ground, maybe a foot. And she got her metal piece of her collar tag stuck and hooked on it. So she would back up and then go forward, yipe, and then back up. She just kept getting electrocuted.
So she was like
over and over again.
Getting electrocuted and strangled.
Correct.
At the same time.
So I freaked out because I was like, oh, we got my dog. And I did yet again, guys, another stupid thing. It didn't occur to me that this was an electric fence. I just saw her getting hurt and I wanted to help. So I grabbed the electric fence and her collar.
Oh, no.
And I got the shock of my fucking life.
Superconductor.
It was the worst. And I, let go. Luckily, my mom's friend had also chased me through the wood, through the woods, and she had the intelligence to unclip the dog's collar. So she just came over and made me feel, super stupid, because I'm sitting on the ground, crying and, slightly electrocuted. My dog's yiping, and she's just like, boop. And I was like, okay, that was smarter than maybe grabbing the fence.
Yeah, but you were a kid and, you know, you've learned your lesson and survived.
Yeah, she was fine.
Okay, good. Good.
You know, yeah, it's fine. So that's our little spiel about electricity. But let me tell you a little bit about Thomas Edison.
Good old Thomas Edison.
Our famous inventor. So everybody knows him as an inventor, a businessman. Some people know him as the person who invented the light bulb, which, as we're going through, we're going to tell you that's not necessarily true.
Well, of course not.
So Thomas Edison was born February 11th, 1847. And not surprisingly, for most geniuses, he did not do well in school. And he wound up being homeschooled by his mother.
Okay.
And he did a lot of experimentation when he was a child. So it started from a young age. And his mother hated it. She disapproved because she was worried that he was going to blow something up.
Oh, man.
In their house. Which I think is a fair concern.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, he's tinkering as a young kid and everything, and his very first invention was an electric vote counter.
Oh, nice.
But, unfortunately for him, it worked so well that the people in the Congress or whatever he had made it for didn't want it. Because it took, like, it made it too quick, and then they didn't have time to deliberate or whatever, or something. And, like, I read it, and I was like, wait.
Yeah, what the hell?
You're telling me it worked too well?
I mean, it's not too surprising when you stop and actually think about who we're dealing with here. It's a bunch of politicians.
Politicians.
Yeah. They don't want the votes to actually be accurate.
Yeah, because they're like, oh no, we can't, you know. So he got shot down hard for his first invention. And so after this, he kind of gave up inventing for the hell of inventing. He decided to start inventing, like, practical and profitable things. So, you know, he invented things like the phonograph, motion picture cameras, you know, practical electricity, things like that. And when he was younger, he actually once saved a child from a runaway train.
What?
Which, as that's written, isn't, he pulled the kid off the track.
Okay.
Because the kid was playing on the track and he yanked the kid off. Well, that kid's father happened to work in the telegraph field.
Okay.
So he got Edison a job and trained him as a telegraph operator.
I wonder if Edison knew that and put the kid on the tracks himself to get the job.
And this is when he got interested in communications, which would be the focus for many of his inventions going forward. As far as personally, he was an affectionate husband, but very absent-minded. And he was actually an emotionally abusive father.
What a jerk. Okay.
Doesn't surprise me. He actually sued his son, Thomas Jr., to stop him from selling snake oil under the family
name. Snake oil.
Snake oil. It'll fix anything. So, in 1876, Edison made a laboratory, Menlo Park Laboratory. And this was going to be a research lab where he would go on to hire tons of engineers and everything, and they would just work tirelessly.
Oh, I bet this was like unpaid labor, too, or something like that.
Sort of, yeah. And we'll get into his view of the people who help him.
Oh, okay.
But he was also extremely dedicated. He worked 50 hours at a time. He would take regular naps whenever he felt the need, even if someone was there visiting.
Wow.
If he felt like he needed to go to sleep, he would.
What a jerk, though.
Even in the presence of somebody.
Like, that sounds like me and my naps. So if someone shows up to visit him, he's just like, oh, sorry, it's nap time.
Yeah, exactly. And he also, he had a weird diet that he stuck to, where he would drink a pint of warm milk every few hours, and then he only consumed a few ounces of solid food a day.
How is he alive? How did he live?
It's not a diet I've heard of, but hey, you know, whatever's working for you, I guess. I mean, he is a genius.
Not
so.
About eating and nutrition.
I don't know. Even geniuses can be stupid, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, what are you, a baby? Warm milk and only a few ounces of solid food.
Like, what's solid food? Like, bread and milk?
So stupid. So, he wrote down tons of ideas. We're talking about this man wrote 112 ideas a day.
How did he have time to nap or drink milk if he was writing that much down?
So, for the average of his lifespan, he patented something every 11 days.
Oh, wow. Like, he had to have been manic or something.
Had to be, because he is just like...
To be able to write that much stuff down, come up with that many ideas, he had to have been manic.
Things flying out of his brain, like he's just writing everything down, just
well,
like...
Well, he's not even taking care of himself well.
Yeah, it's just
he's
on like a different level.
Taking all these micro naps, drinking warm milk. I wonder if he maybe spiked his milk with amphetamines or something.
I mean, you know, back then, some opium, whatever. Well, obviously, being, you know, kind of manic and just throwing out inventions left and right, they were not all successful.
You don't say.
And not all of them made money. He invented a talking doll.
That's so
which
creepy.
Didn't go over well. A sap extractor. The largest rock crusher. An electric pen. And a tornado-proof house.
Oh, I'm actually interested in that house.
Me too. That's very early development. Yeah. I think he might have just been a little ahead of his time with that one. Oh, and he also, something He made ink for the blind, okay. Which didn't work. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I could see it being maybe like raised. Textured, like gel ink or something.
Like that paint, that thick paint you can write stuff on fabric with.
Yes. Kind of thing. Maybe that was his idea.
And also concrete furniture.
Concrete furniture. That does not sound comfortable. I mean, we have a patio set that is a concrete table and a concrete bench. Is mm-hmm. it something like that? Or is it something else?
Oh, see, we're talking couches.
Concrete and stuff. Couch.
That's the kind of furniture. Couch. Like, he was like, here's your concrete couch. And, you know, everybody was like,
I'll pass on that. I'll pass.
No. Yeah. I'll pass on that one. So another thing about Edison is obviously he's got all these crazy ideas going, but many of his inventions were actually borrowed from other inventors.
Borrowed so, from other people?
Stolen.
Stolen, yes. Okay. Just wanted to clarify.
But he used the term borrowed, and he was not, like, shy about it. Like, he believed in taking things and improving them.
Well, okay. Which,
okay, you know, maybe don't steal people's inventions, but...
Yeah, no. Give them credit, but that makes sense. That's how progress is made.
Right, right. So he would take an idea, he would improve it. He left behind, when he died, millions of pages of notes.
Huh, okay.
He has more than 1,000 patents in his name. And he used many of these inventions to start companies. He had hundreds of businesses that he founded. And one of those was actually General Electric, yeah, which is now one of the biggest corporations in the world.
Good old GE.
Yeah. So that was Edison.
Okay.
So in 1878, that's when he started working on electrical illumination. Which we all know Edison for. He's credited a lot with inventing the light bulb, but that's actually not true.
Of course so it's not.
the term invent, I don't think, is the proper term.
No, it is not the proper term.
He did do a lot of work on the light bulb, but in 1802, this is 40-some-odd years before Edison was even born, Humphrey Davy invented the first electric light. He also invented the electric battery. And the invention was known as an electric arc lamp, and it provided light by connecting wires to the battery and a piece of carbon. So basically, it would just ignite the carbon.
Oh, okay.
And it would cause a really, really bright light, but it was not last long. So it was like a flash.
Like a strobe light or something.
Yeah, and it's just not practical for, like, home illumination, which is awful. What they were wanting. Because obviously, everything previously is fire. Candles, sconces... But then over the next 70 years, many, many inventors made quote-unquote light bulbs, but just none were good for commercial use.
Okay.
In 1840, which is still before Edison was born, Warren de la Rue made a design that had a coiled filament in a vacuum tube, but it used platinum because it had a high melting point. But platinum was super expensive.
Yeah.
So... also impractical for commercial production. Thus far, like, we have light bulbs, they're just not there yet.
Yeah, they're not the best prototypes yet.
Yeah.
It almost seems like our textbooks should be completely changed, and instead of having, like, invented next to Edison's name, it should be, like, he claimed to have invented, or he borrowed the idea.
Like, why couldn't we put Humphrey Davy in there? Like, why isn't the history of the light bulb invention? It's not that long. I just told you. You know
Humphrey
what I mean?
Davy, all the other people you mentioned.
We could throw that in there.
All the different prototypes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just not how our history textbooks work.
No, it's not.
So, in 1850, Joseph William Swan made a light bulb by enclosing carbonized paper filament in an evacuated glass bulb. By 1860, he had a working prototype, but the lack of a good vacuum and adequate supply of electricity made the bulb's lifetime way too short to be considered effective for lighting.
Oh, okay.
In 1878, he developed a longer-lasting bulb using treated carbon. Now, 1878 is also when Edison started working on electrical.
Okay,
so he kind of just picked up right where these guys left off. So in 1874, before he started working on it, a patent was filed by Henry Woodward and Matthew Evans, and they made their lamps with different sizes, shapes of carbon rods, held between electrodes in glass cylinders that were filled with nitrogen. And they attempted to commercialize this, but they were unsuccessful. They just weren't businessmen. So they sold their patent to Edison in 1879. So a year after he started working on the light bulb, he then bought a patent.
A pre-existing patent.
Right. From Henry Woodward and Matthew Evans for this light bulb.
Okay. So not even his idea.
Right.
Just borrowing someone else's patent. Yeah. So he's just improving upon the electric bulb.
And it lacks a solid source of electricity, mainly. So that's where the electricity AC/DC current war started.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine moving from lamp lighting and fire to your house being full electric? It would be weird. I couldn't imagine this new technology. You know
it would
I mean?
Be weird, but I mean, it'd be a lot safer, yeah. I would think. Just not a bunch of fires everywhere.
Yeah, I wonder how many house fires happened back in those days.
Yeah.
So he continued to test other materials, improve on the original design, and by 1879, he filed another patent using carbon filament. And then several months after that patent was granted, he discovered carbonized bamboo filament that could last over 12,000 hours.
Oh, wow.
So, or 1,200 hours, not 12,000.
Oh, okay. 12,000 hours.
I read funny. So in 1880, they began marketing that product.
So, I mean, he gets all this credit for developing the light bulb, mm-hmm. but he actually used pre-existing patents and ideas to just improve it, make it more stable.
Right. Which, you know, when you're inventing, you definitely use other people's where they've built their building blocks,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
to get there. You don't start from the very beginning, but Edison had a really bad habit of just not giving credit to anybody.
That's kind of screwed up.
So he's not exactly a standout guy. When you talk about Edison, obviously we have to include some Nikola Tesla, because the big feud between them, it was a huge thing back then in the newspapers and everything.
Well, and he's someone I didn't even hear of during school. I don't remember hearing about Tesla.
Yeah. So Tesla actually worked for Edison's company in Europe. So Edison had tons of, like I said, businesses and stuff like that, and Nikola Tesla was contributing to his research lab in Menlo Park. And that was in 1882 that he started working for the company. But in 1884, Tesla actually moved to New York to work with Edison directly because his supervisor had told Edison that he had a genius that was on level with Edison, you know, so he could really contribute.
Yeah, here's some ideas you can steal from this young genius.
Tesla is a proponent for high voltage alternation current, so AC current. And Edison is a direct current proponent.
This is the whole AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC. And Edison always claimed that AC current was way too dangerous. So that's where the kind of like butting heads started. So when Tesla came over, Edison offered him $50,000, which is over $1 million today.
Wow.
If he could improve his DC generators. So Tesla worked like around the clock for months with Edison, and he made huge advances to Edison's work. So when he went back to Edison to collect his $50,000 that he had earned, Edison said, when you become a full-fledged American, you will be able to appreciate an American joke.
What?
So he didn't pay him.
What?
Anything.
What a jackass.
So free labor from an incredible genius.
Yeah.
So obviously this kind of pissed Tesla off and he quit.
Well, yeah, I'd be super pissed. I mean, he's lucky he just quit.
Yeah. Like, well, today it would be a huge, like, lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. But I can't imagine Edison, you know, like, saying, oh, you'll appreciate an American joke. I'm not going to pay you. There would be so many different issues with that today. Not to mention the fact that disgruntled employees go around shooting up their employment offices after they've been let go.
Well, like, he's like, well, forget you. I'm going to go invent my own things. And then, like, nowadays it's like, fuck you, I'll kill you.
Yeah. He's so, like, nonchalant about it. When today you would get murdered for doing that. That's the American way.
Also, and who fake and lie about, you know, paying you for a job and then just don't. So,
yeah.
That's that good old American joke.
Good old American joke.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that one. So Tesla continued on, obviously, with his AC research. He wasn't much of a businessman, though, so he sold his patents to George Westinghouse.
Oh, yeah, Westinghouse.
Who then became the main force behind AC power and its widespread uses.
Oh, okay.
Edison pissed off about this because he does not believe in AC power, and he wants to be the one who makes the electric current that is going to be used in everyone's households, businesses, all across the world. So he began to publicly campaign against AC power. He wanted to prove that it was too dangerous for public use. And unfortunately, the way that they went about demonstrating this was to publicly electrocute animals.
What in the hell?
So he and his cohorts would electrocute stray cats and dogs, cattle, horses, and even an elephant named Topsy.
No, not Topsy. I have heard a little bit about Topsy.
Yeah.
So what were the reasons he was just going around electrocuting animals he found?
Well, there's another foundation that's involved with providing those animals, actually. Topsy was executed at Luna Park on Coney Island in 1903. Edison's company sent a film crew to document it. Now, however, Edison himself was not directly involved in this particular execution.
Oh, okay. So no blood on his hands with Topsy.
It is true that, you know, it should be noted that Topsy was actually scheduled for execution by Luna Park officials anyway.
Okay.
Because she killed 3 men over 3 months.
That's now, not too bad for a giant elephant.
Well, it was actually her drunken keeper that had goaded her into killing those men. So she got executed because some asshole.
I'm sure nothing happened to him.
Yeah. So they originally planned to hang her.
How the hell, how do you hang an elephant?
So you're going to hang an elephant. I don't know how you do that, but hey, whatever.
Who comes up with this as an idea to put down an animal is hanging?
Yes. So that was a typical drowning was the go-to for dogs, and hanging was the go-to for everything else.
What? Why dogs? Why were dogs drowned?
I don't know. We had guns, so why wouldn't you just kill it?
Yeah. There are so many more humane ways to do this. Like, even the idea of, like, a slaughterhouse seems more
things
humane.
Like that, or the cow pressure thing where it just shoots into their head.
Air guns.
Exactly. Not back then. Back then, we hung elephants. So the Society of the for the Prevention of Animal Cruelty, so the SPCA, they objected to the hanging.
Okay, good.
So they had originally planned to hang her, but since they objected, they went about a different route. So with the approval of the SPCA, the park officials decided to use a combination of poisoning, strangulation, and electrocution.
What the hell? Why did they need to do all of that?
Right, we're going to add poisoning and electrocution.
Yeah, it's not enough that we're just going to hang them. We're going to add these two things.
And you've touched a wall socket. It hurts.
Yes.
Now imagine enough of that to kill you.
Oh my God.
So there's more, but it gets worse.
Of course it does.
So while his, you know, Edison didn't take place in this execution personally, his campaign was what convinced the SPCA that electrocution was a humane way to kill animals.
Who put them down. Looks at someone being electrocuted and decides that is humane?
Exactly. So to the credit of the SPCA, they just believed what Edison told them.
Okay.
They didn't have sockets.
Guess they've never been electrocuted.
They didn't have sockets. They could go lick his DC generator, I guess, and get electrocuted.
Yeah, they should go stick their finger in a socket and see how good it feels.
So they thought it was a humane end. But Edison also electrocuted, like, mostly dogs in his
Where
lab.
Where was he getting these dogs?
They were actually provided to him by the SPCA.
Okay. Just for, like, shits and giggles? Or, I guess, were they meant to be put down?
Yes. So basically, they wanted a more humane method to put dogs down rather than drowning.
Okay. I still can't get over the fact that they're using drowning as a means of killing dogs. That sounds like such a slow and painful death.
Yeah. It's just not a good way to die.
Yeah, like, I don't know which one I'd pick if I had to pick between the two.
I would pick electrocution, but that's just because it's faster.
I don't know if I would pick electrocution, actually. It's pretty terrible.
Oh, and the experiments that he did in his lab, the SPCA was actually there for and, like, witnessed. So even through witnessing it, they still believed that it was a humane way.
This was humane.
I don't know if you've ever seen, like, something get electrocuted, but y'all, it's not humane. It's
it is not.
Awful.
They are, like, burning internally.
Yeah, basically.
It is disgusting and it is horrifying to watch.
But we went with it.
America.
Right. America. So he claimed that AC power was a humane and reliable end. So not his DC power.
What? So now
he claimed that AC power was humane and reliable because he was trying to prove that AC power was dangerous and could kill.
Okay.
So
he was using this to turn people against AC power.
Yeah, so he's trying to, like, he's proponent for AC being used in a way that Westinghouse does not want.
Okay.
And Westinghouse tried to prevent the claims, like, he did what he could, but, you know, it was basically just a smear campaign.
Yeah, sounds like it was a smear campaign to try to get Westinghouse's image, just a poor image for Westinghouse, because he's using this guy's form of power to electrocute these adorable animals.
Exactly. But it gets slightly worse. So Harold Brow was one of Edison's employees, and he was actually hired by the state of New York to build the first electric chair. And naturally, they used AC current, because why not? And you want to show that it kills people.
This is such a diabolical plan on Edison's part. Like, who would think, oh, I can make this electric chair using AC current to make everyone turn against it and see how awful it is? I mean, it only has one purpose. It kills people.
It is the only thing that it does. It's specifically for murdering.
Yeah, this murder chair.
I mean, they didn't care about hanging an elephant, though. So, and this guy was like, the person that they're going to electrocute was an axe murderer.
Oh, okay.
So
I guess some justice.
So he obviously built this chair for New York, and we all know what an electric chair is. The first electrocution took place on August 6th in 1890, and AC power proved to be both not reliable and not humane. Big surprise there.
Huge surprise.
The first 17-second long charge failed to kill the alleged axe murderer.
So they just fried him alive.
We're just making this technology, so we have to wait for the generator to recharge to do it again.
Oh my god.
So you've just been electrocuted. With a lot of voltage. Didn't kill you, but I can assure you it hurt. And then he had to sit there, and the whole ordeal lasted 8 minutes. And the next charge finally killed him.
Oh my god. I would opt for drowning at that point. That is terrible. 8 minutes between zaps.
Yeah, screw this. Why am I testing the electric chair?
Yeah, why am I the guinea pig for the electric chair?
But yeah, and Westinghouse claimed to report that it would have been better with an axe. So... it would have been more humane to kill the axe murderer with an axe instead of electrocuting you.
Good for you, Westinghouse.
In the end, AC won the battle of the currents. Its higher voltage meant it could travel longer distances. It would also be safe to use in homes with an alternator. All in all, I would give him maybe like a 5 on the terrible scale. He did some good work, but he was also kind of an asshole.
Yeah, it sounds that way. An asshole that electrocuted adorable elephants, or at least his company did, and... other animals.
Yeah, and a lot of inventions, a lot of medical inventions and things like that have come from horrible, horrible tests. Well, I mean, and like back in the day, they weren't even allowed to like work on dead bodies. So they would steal them to cut them open.
Oh, that's right.
And, you know, find out about them.
Good old Burke and Hare, grave robbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had to steal corpses.
Yeah,
otherwise,
they
weren't going to be able to learn.
They couldn't get
how the human body
worked.
They
had to be able to practice on those cadavers.
So you're like sneaking into a graveyard and you're like, dig up a body. I'm just taking this.
Nobody pay any attention to me, guys. I'm just going to borrow this corpse.
Mm-hmm. I'll stitch him back up. It's
kind of like Edison using the term borrow. I'm just going to borrow it and I'll bring it back. It's fine. Thomas Edison was not
a great guy. Gave us some great inventions, but kind of an asshole. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of terrible people. This is pretty tame for what we're going to cover in this podcast.
It's all downhill from here. So I was going to continue with the Animals Are Assholes episode.
Yay.
And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about murder hornets.
Murder hornets. I saw this stuff on social media. I'll be honest, I don't look at the news a whole lot.
Yeah.
All the horrible stuff. Like, I'm like, I don't want to know about the actual news happening right now. It makes me too stressed out. So let's talk about murder hornets. But they started saying that, and I was like, is that really, like, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw videos of people, like, grabbing them.
Yeah, and they are huge.
They're huge.
They are like 3-inch, I want to say a 3-inch wingspan on these guys.
I hate bugs.
So the murder hornets are found in Asia, and they're actually called the Asian giant hornet.
I like murder hornet.
Yeah, I like the term murder hornet better. But the genus and species, however you say that, is the Vespa mandarinia.
Big words, y'all. Big words.
I'm going to call them murder hornets, though, because
sure.
This is easier. So the murder hornet has been found in both the U.S. and Canada, outside of Asian countries, and this is including Washington State, but it's only in... one county in Washington State. And as of June, several news outlets were reporting that 3 of these murder hornets have been found, but all of them have been dead when they've been discovered. So this includes a queen. So a queen is one of the 3 that have been found. But there is conflicting information about whether they've been discovered in the U.S.
How did they get there?
So they speculate that the hornets arrived in the U.S. via shipping containers arriving at U.S. ports.
So they built like a nest or something and then...
yeah, they came over.
Why is this year just like feel like the apocalypse.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have said it's pretty much...
When is, you know, it's been a while since something has been transported to the U.S. that changed its environment.
Yes.
You know, like kudzu.
Oh, kudzu is everywhere.
Yeah, like there's tons of things that have been brought over. Yeah, we personally, where we live, there's a shitload of kudzu.
Heck yeah. And there's a lot in Tennessee, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was put here to help the land after Sherman's march to the sea, where he burnt everything. So it was, you know, brought here for a good reason, but it took over. When things go into another... That's why it scares me. They were going to genetically mutate a worm to eat the kudzu.
Oh.
But they didn't release it because they were afraid that if it after it was done with the kudzu, what's it going to eat next?
Yeah, where's it going to go? What's it going to survive on? Have you heard about the... They want to genetically modify mosquitoes in Florida?
I saw something about that.
Yeah, so they are hoping to create a mosquito that will help cut down on other mosquitoes.
Right.
That can carry...
I thought they have like a 24-hour lifespan.
I don't know,
like they shortened their lifespan significantly.
So I don't know about the lifespan.
So then going forward, mosquitoes will have, like, they're born... They have, like, 24 hours, like flies.
Oh, so they're hoping to do that with the whole group. I mean, all I had heard was they were hoping that these would come in and target the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus.
What if they turn into, like, giant insects? And it's like, so everything I think of is a horror movie.
Yeah, it's like one of those horror movies from, like, the 1950s.
Giant mosquitoes that literally just stab you with their giant noses and suck all of the internal organs out of your body.
So the hornets, though, the way that they attack the honeybees is they infiltrate and decimate an entire bee colony in about 90 minutes via decapitating the worker bees and feasting
shit.
On the larva.
That's bad.
And so this is really bad news for anywhere where the bee population is already struggling in terms of their numbers.
They pollinate everything. It would be a huge impact. Bees, losing bees is a big deal.
But there is really good news. Honeybees have adapted a means of defending themselves when a murder hornet enters their nest.
Do they dive bomb or something? I don't remember.
So there is this murder ball that gets formed by the honeybees to protect themselves. It's a whole group of them.
What, do they all team up on them?
Yeah, they surround it.
So they just, they encase it?
Each one vibrates its wings to increase their own body heat, and that raises the temperature of this little torture ball to 122 degrees Fahrenheit. And this basically cooks the hornet to death.
Oh my, like, so they just surround it and cook it,
pretty
but
much.
Not the bees.
It actually doesn't do anything to the bees somehow.
Interesting. Life, what is it for the Jurassic Park?
Life
will find a way.
Wants to live?
What? Life wants to live.
Life wants to live. No. Life wants to live.
This is evolution, y'all.
And so even though the murder hornet is aggressive and pretty much a mass killer of bees, it appears we, as people, don't need to be that concerned, even though a lot of people are understandably panicked.
Well, let's be honest. Like, the media is part of the problem for causing, you know, panic, and that's what
they are causing panic.
They want to stir people
the
up, so.
The media has us all thinking the murder hornet's going to come after us, but they're not. As long as we don't startle them, disrupt one of their nests, and they are horrifying to look at.
They're terrifying
looking. They're huge. Yes, they are terrifying. And there are only about 30 to 50 deaths that occur in Japan each year from the, very painful stings of these hornets. But most of the fatalities are due to an allergy and the allergy-inducing anaphylaxis.
Makes sense. I mean, bee allergies is a severe allergy, so.
Yeah, so if you're not allergic to bees or other sting insects, you should be fine.
I gotta say, though, if a murder hornet came at me, I would lose my shit.
I think I would panic. I'd probably stop, drop, and roll.
I would run.
I don't know how I would handle it. I'm worried I would freeze up, but I know I'd start swatting the air and squealing.
I do like frantic flailing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like spinning around, and it's like a whole like dance.
Basically, looks like you're on fire.
A bug comes anywhere near me. I don't even like butterflies.
I like butterflies.
I don't like them. I think insects are gross, and I don't like their little legs and their little feet and their little antennas and their little eyes. It's just disgusting.
I'm not a fan of like cockroaches.
Roaches are one of my biggest fears. I hate roaches. Have you ever, you've seen like Fear Factor?
Yes.
And stuff like that, where they're like, you can have $1 million if you get into this box and we cover you with roaches. Guess I'm not getting $1 million.
I think I could. I think for
$1 million, I
would do
not,
it.
I could not, like at all. I'd be like, well, sorry. I guess we lose because you are not pouring cockroaches on me.
No, I'd probably take like a Xanax.
Do they Do they let me take my Xanax beforehand?
That's what I'm saying. Just, like,
take like 15 Xanax and just be like, whatever, I'm fine.
Give me a shot of Ativan and we're good to go. I'd be like, hold on, baby. I got this.
Put more bugs on me. I don't care.
Put the snakes in here too with the bugs.
Well, that's today's episode, y'all. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening.
Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Tell us what you think.
Give us some feedback.
You can also suggest ideas, any stories you want to hear about, something that's been fascinating you that you want us to dive into and discover.
Any stories you guys have about terrible people you've encountered or perhaps lived with, be sure to drop us a line and let us know, and maybe we will cover it on the show. And we will see you next time. Goodbye! Bye.